Special Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 10:03 a.m. Members present at this time, Representative Vance, Representative Story, Speaker Stutes, and myself, Representative Tarr. We'd ask members to please silence cell phones as we get started. Our committee aide will be right back. He's printing something off. I'd like to thank Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Alex Banizak for their help today with the meeting. We have two items on the agenda today. We want to finish the public testimony for House Bill 52, and then we're going to at least introduce House Bill 188, so we'll have had its first bill introduction and hopefully won't run out of time for that. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony for House Bill 52. And let me correct myself. We left it open last time, so it's still open. And I'm going to go to the first person, Jeffrey Lee. And if you could please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then we would love 2 minutes of testimony.
Was that for Jeffrey? I had a glitch.
Yes, Jeffrey Lee, please.
Yes. My name's Jeffrey Lee. I'm a member of the Kachemak Bay State Advisory Board. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I've been a member of the board for roughly 8 years since the beginning of conflict with CIA, Parks, and other members of the public. The issue of this hatchery in Kachemak Bay State Park has been a highly controversial issue for the public, monopolized dozens of meetings for many years, filling meetings with diverse stakeholders of the park. This current hatchery management plan has gone through an extensive public review over the last 6 years. It happens every 25 to 30 years, typically takes a couple years. But with the CIA, it's taken close to almost six with multiple administrations. This management plan is now waiting to be put in place as a guide for managers, users, and the public. It's also found that phasing out the hatchery has been a good choice to go with, and this is another bill will continue this conflict. The Citizens Advisory Board has been the only public body to address this Kachemak Bay Lagoon hatchery during this process. The magnitude of this land swap for any reason within the Kachemak Bay State Park without input of the Kachemak Bay Citizens Advisory Board absolutely degrades this public process that's been going on for 6 years. I strongly urge this committee to please take no action on this CHB 52 until the advisory board can thoroughly review this B-52 from the public and stakeholders of the park and allow time for this resolution due process. This will allow for the engagement of the public that this land belongs to, resulting in a thoroughly and thoughtful position on HB 52 from the Kachemak Bay State Park. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. Appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, I'm not seeing any, but I will just say we don't intend to move this bill today, but instead complete the public testimony. And I just, Mr. Lee, since you mentioned that, wanted to mention that to let you know. Next is Roberta Highland.
Hello. Yes, Roberta Highland, Homer, Alaska, P.O. Box 2460. And I am not in support of HB 52. This process has been rushed. And there has been, as Jeff said, lots of discussion locally about this. This does not take place for 10 years. The management plan gives a 10-year time frame to allow for changes for the hatchery. And so rushing into this right now is a very bad idea. Also, there's a concern that it could set a precedence for other parks where there's a conflict of uses. And it's sad to say, I wish hatcheries were a great thing that we've been told, but the data is showing that it is not, and that there has been environmental damage done with the hatchery and the pens in the lagoon, and it has literally killed the bottom of that lagoon, which used to be a place where shrimp and crabs and other types of salmon rear. And the other thing is the wanting to continue to enlarge and increase the numbers of salmon, of pink salmons in that hatchery. and that has created many problems. The dumping of the carcasses has been very irresponsible. It's in a lawsuit right now. And then the wanting to put the pens up in the Tutka Bay itself would increase boat traffic for fisheries people up there a lot, right into the heart of the park. So I am asking that this not be passed, that it be given time, especially with this new land swap idea, and especially the lands that's being talked about swapping. That was brought up just the last meeting, and there have not been any public review. So I ask that you hold this and do not pass this bill this year.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hyland. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, thank you very much for calling in today. Next is Brent Johnson.
Thank you. Brent Johnson here. I'm past president of Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association. The hatchery is super important for all the hatcheries for Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association. They all work together to help fund the organization and to release fish that are important for local fishermen. I'm all in favor of studies. I hear constantly things that the hatchery is bad for the environment, and I don't think that there have been studies to prove that at all. And so I'm eager to have those studies take place, and I just think this hatchery is super important to the economy of Homer and to the Lower Cook Inlet Saners. And that's it. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you so much for your testimony today, Mr. Johnson. Any questions for a testifier? Okay, that completes the individuals that I have online at this time. From our previous meeting, there was a Mr. David Martin and a Mr. Malcolm Milne that were not able to testify. And I'm disappointed. I wish we saw them on the list today. So I just wanted to mention, because we had run out of time in our last meeting. So at this time, we'll close public testimony on House Bill 52. We are planning to set it aside, and I don't know if the bill sponsor, if you want to make any comments, because these may be constituents that have called in for the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, they are constituents, and Malcolm Milne is out fishing today, and so he's going to provide written testimony. And we also have other supporting documents that will be submit to the committee soon of wide-range support from various communities across the peninsula and into Representative Stute's district, and we'll be providing that soon. And we do want to have further discussion on the land swap, because that was only introduced last week, so I intend to do that, but also separating out the hatchery issue with the land issue, kind of two different topics going on here, and wanting to solve the legal issue that this bill addresses.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Vance, and hopefully folks were able to hear that. And so again, at this time, we're setting House Bill 52 aside. It doesn't mean that public testimony won't be taken at a future date, again, with the changes in the bill. But thank you to the bill sponsor. Sounds like she wants to work with her constituents and on that, and so we appreciate that, and we'll look forward to hearing back from you when you're next ready. That takes us to House Bill 188. And Ms. Perman, if you would want to join us. And welcome to Representative Christ Tompkins, who joined us at about 10:10. And if you'd like to do your bill introduction, we do have Chris Barrows and Mark Palmer, both online as invited testimony, and it looks like we might have time to even get to both of those. So welcome.
Wonderful. Through the chair, good morning. My name is Sarah Perman. I'm a legislative aide to Speaker Stutes, and I hope you're not sick of seeing me yet, since it seems like I've been here a lot this session. Before you today is House Bill 188. This bill extends a seafood product tax credit, development tax credit, that sunsetted this last December 31st. It extends the sunset date to December 31st, 2025, for the next 5 years. And I guess 4 years. And it also extends the seafood product tax credit, which now only applies to salmon and herring, to cod and pollock as well. This tax credit allows processors who have invested in updating their equipment in order to process more byproduct from fish, et cetera, to get more value added out of their fish. Those who have invested in expanding their equipment, updating their equipment, to receive up to 50% back for that investment. And by doing so, it's the point is to incentivize our fish producers to find more value added in the fish and in their byproduct. Essentially, we have a set volume that we harvest every year, about 5.7 billion pounds, I believe, and that harvest volume has not substantively changed and it's not expected to, but so the way to expand and grow our industry is by finding more innovative ways to utilize our fish, and we're seeing that already with salmon, for example, which this tax credit already applies to, in finding ways such as bone meal with fertilizer and fish oil, et cetera. We're finding other products to sell beyond just the fish meat, and that is extending and increasing the value of those fish. And by having this tax credit, we are just and extending it then again to cod and pot. Oh my goodness, pollock and cod, in addition to salmon and herring, we are expanding the capability and the use of those follow-up fish. And that's valuable because pollock and cod are about 69% of our annual harvest. So, that's the quick introduction, and if I missed anything, please feel free to ask questions, or if that wasn't transparent, please let me know. But I'm also happy to dive into a sectional for the committee members if you'd like.
At this time, given the time we have, about 15 minutes, I think if we could go to the invited testifiers, we'll do that just because they're online, and then we'll circle back to that. So Chris Barrows, I see online from Pacific Seafood Processors Association, and Mr. Barrows, welcome. I think you want to go first.
I'd be happy to, Madam Chairman. Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me. And to also the members of the committee, it's great to see you again. So for the record, my name is Chris Barrows, and I am president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. And I'm here to speak in strong support of House Bill 188. We very much appreciate Speaker Stutz introducing this bill. I thought that was actually a very great short summary that was just provided to you. So I won't rehash all of those details, but I did want to go into a little bit more specifics that are highlighted in our written letter of support, and specifically the attachment that we included in our written letter of support that was an analysis that was conducted. And I'll get to that more in just a second. So also, just for the record, PSPA, we're a nonprofit trade association that was founded in 1914, and today we're comprised of 8 major seafood processing companies from Ketchikan to Unalaska to St. Paul that operate at the center of Alaska's wild and sustainable seafood supply chain. Our members operate 25 facilities in 15 coastal communities across Alaska, and that includes 3 floating processors. And we purchase Alaska seafood from harvesters, processing it into various product forms, and distributing it into markets in the U.S. and around the world. So House Bill 188 would reestablish and augment Alaska seafood product development tax credit program, which expired last year, but it was first enacted in the Alaska legislature in 2003, specifically for salmon. This bill, 188, would establish the longstanding program through 2025 and would expand the list of eligible species to also include wild Alaska pollock and Pacific cod. And this is an important expansion. These two species represent a lot of opportunity for obtaining more value from these high-volume species over the long term. And as was mentioned, but I think it's worth emphasizing, higher value means more value to fishermen, more value to processors, but also more value to the state of Alaska's general fund and to local governments, since both local and state fish taxes are based on the value of fish. So this type of program can and has made a difference to companies being able to obtain equipment and do value-added processing locally in Alaska. And this provides long-term benefits for Alaska. It also incentivizes greater use of each fish. That was briefly mentioned in the introduction, but I think it's really important because it allows processors to invest more in product development and markets for ancillary products that may not otherwise be able to be pursued, and fish meal is a perfect example of that. the more markets and diversification we have for Alaska seafoods, the better, the better in terms of returning value to the state. So, as I mentioned, PSPA's letter of support includes a brief analysis as an attachment of the benefits of the program in terms of additional state revenues generated from sockeye and pink salmon. The first page of that attachment provides a summary of the conclusions. And just to quickly highlight those for that supporting summary, the analysis showed that seafood product development credits both to incentivize higher utilization and value from each fish, and it also provides a net gain to the state of Alaska and local communities by creating more and higher value products, which generate a higher general fund revenue. So in sum, we recognize that there are multiple factors that contribute to seafood value, but this analysis indicates that the program has directly contributed to the generation of an additional $114.4 million in net revenue to the state of Alaska's general fund, meaning this is additional revenue above and beyond the credits that were returned back to based on this program. So this analysis doesn't even touch on the number of additional jobs created when you move value-added products, which always requires more labor. So I think I'll end there with additional thanks for your consideration of this bill. The health of the commercial fisheries in Alaska and the seafood industry is critical to Alaska, as it generates between billion in economic value to Alaska annually, and it creates more jobs than any other private industry in the state. So thank you for the opportunity to testify, and we seek your support for the reauthorization and the expansion of the Seafood Product Development Tax Credit Program, which is what HB 188 would do. Thank you so much, and I'm available to ask any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Barrows. And let's see, we did just hear the first bells, and so we have Mr. Palmer and Mr. Woodrow online. If there aren't any questions, then I would just go to our next testifier in the interest of time. Thank you so much, Mr. Barrows. Appreciate the testimony today. We'll go next to Mark Palmer. And Mr. Palmer, just take note, we have about 7 minutes left, and it would be great if we could hear from both of you in that time if possible.
Certainly. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm Mark Palmer. I'm the president and CEO of OBI Seafoods. We have 10 processing plants in Alaska, three in Bristol Bay, three on Kodiak Island, two in Prince William Sound, and one in Southeast. I am here today in support of House Bill 188, and I would say one of the biggest reasons is because it's demonstrated that it works. We have a bill that over 15 years ago was the catalyst for change, dramatic change, in the wild salmon industry and investing in our plants and investing in value-added products. We're in a very competitive, low-margin business. We've seen run fluctuations on a year-to-year basis that are really unprecedented. It's really tough to cover your overheads when 1 year you have three times as much fish as you do the next. You need facilities that can handle that, and the following year you might have half as much fish go through that plant. And so utilizing every speck of protein that we can squeeze out of that fish is critical. All of that protein is needed somewhere in the world, and we can make those investments to utilize that. The other thing I'd like to point out is that when we do create value-added products, those are the products that largely move into the domestic market. There's a lot of trade barriers for us to export, say, a product like wild smoked salmon to Europe. They really don't want those products coming from here. They would rather manufacture that in their own country. But the U.S. market is the best market. It has been the best market for quite a few years now for Alaska seafood. And the more things that we can develop and produce in the state and export into the domestic or send down to the domestic market, it's that much less commodity product that we're exporting to a foreign country where they create the jobs, they create the value-added product, and we miss out on those jobs here in the U.S., and the U.S. consumers miss out on those value-added products. So, again, this is a bill that has a proven track record for over 15 years that when there's co-investment, we can make this work, and it adds jobs to those factories in Alaska. It adds investment to run sophisticated pieces of equipment. Those jobs are higher paying jobs than the typical production working jobs in our factories. And that's why we support this bill. And we thank Representative Stutes for introducing the bill on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Palmer. Appreciate your testimony today. And in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and go straight to Jeremy Woodrow from ASME. Mr. Woodrow, welcome.
Excellent. Thank you, Chairwoman Tarr and Speaker Stutes and members of the committee. My name is Jeremy Woodrow. I am the Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institutes. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute supports all efforts that will help increase the value of Alaska's fisheries. HB 188 will provide the Alaska seafood industry incentive and support to continue much-needed investments in processing facilities and take additional measures to create more value for key Alaska seafood species. Alaska's commercial fisheries annually harvest on average 5.5 billion pounds of seafood. After processing, approximately 2.6 billion pounds of seafood is produced and sold to markets worldwide. This leaves 3 billion pounds of potential product and opportunity to add even more value to Alaska's seafood resources. Products such as fish and bone meal and fish oil currently generate hundreds of millions of dollars annually for Alaska's seafood industry. Additional growth is forecasted in pet foods, nutraceuticals, medical advancements, food preservation, and more. This will all be produced from byproducts such as fish skin and heads, crab shells, and similar often discarded items. Any effort made to help modernize and maximize our sustainable seafood resources will benefit Alaska. According to the January 2020 Economic Value of Alaska Seafood Industry Report prepared by the McDowell Group, Alaska's major shoreside seafood processors invest over $100 million annually in capital expenditures. Processors' investment and multiplier impacts are closely tied to resource value. Expanding value provides processing companies capital to modernize plants, expand production lines, and pay higher fish prices. All of these benefit local communities in Alaska and provide growth elsewhere in the U.S. economy. Furthermore, market research shows that consumers worldwide are increasingly seeking convenient, easy-to-prepare products that match their busy lifestyle. Consumers also no longer want to sacrifice health, flavor, and quality when choosing convenience-based products. This trend creates tremendous opportunity for Alaska seafood products to capitalize on by producing new, innovative, and value-added seafood products. HB 188 supports this trend and will help Alaska seafood companies develop products to match consumer demand. Thank you, Chairwoman Tarr and Speaker Stutes and members of the committee for recognizing the opportunity to add value to Alaska's fisheries and support Alaska's economy. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Woodrow, and thank you to all of our invited testifiers today for that great testimony. We probably have maybe 1 minute or 2 minutes if there was a question. Any questions? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The addition of cod and pollock is a massive change to the program and doubles the expenditure by the state per the fiscal, or more than doubles the cost to the state. And so we want to be sure that we give that due diligence. My primary question is, you know, pollock is primarily processed at sea and relative to salmon has a much smaller, well, I shouldn't say primarily processed at sea, but is a very different value chain to the state. And also the taxes the state gets on pollock are a fraction of what we get on salmon. So I'm wondering if someone could speak to what kind of equipment is likely to qualify for the tax credit with this expansion, specifically to pollock, although I think cod is also of interest, and what kinds of facilities onshore versus at sea would sort of be captured by this, proportionally speaking.
And would we want to hear from Mr. Barrows or Mr. Woodrow? Maybe Mr. Barrows? He's still available. Did you hear that question?
Yes, I did, and I appreciate the question. I think that I'm not sure that the assumption that pollock is primarily processed at sea is an accurate one. I'd like to be able to look more into that and provide an answer back on that. There's a lot of shoreside production for pollock. So as a basis of that question, I just think we need to look into that a little bit more to be able to frame that question in a way that provides you the type of response that's accurate. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for more opportunity in shoreside production and processing, so that may be helpful in terms of our response.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a follow-up, I kind of walked that back mid-question, that assumption is valid, but it seems like we should absolutely know that fact, like right now, if this is being proposed in bill language, that we're considering what the proportion of at sea versus at shore is. So I would just sort of flag that as relevant information.
Thank you. And Mr. Bears, it sounds like you could get back to us. Oh, yes, go ahead.
This is Mark Palmer. And I guess as an example, in our Kodiak Island facility, all we do is headed and gutted pollock. We don't produce surimi as an example. Surimi would be a much higher value use product than H&G. Our H&G is all exported to foreign markets. That would be, I guess, one example of how it could potentially be utilized to benefit a shore plant, create a higher value product, and also probably focus on a domestic market. Thank you.
And we're going to bring this bill back up on Tuesday. And so for our invited testifiers, if you have any additional information or could be prepared for some additional questions on this topic on Tuesday, I am going to open public testimony. I don't see anyone online, and I don't see anyone in the room, so I'm going to close public testimony. But we will bring this bill back before us on Tuesday, and I was considering an amendment deadline on Monday, but I don't want members to feel rushed. Should we wait for the Tuesday meeting?
I'm going to want to know a lot more information.
Okay. So this will be back up before us on Tuesday. Again, for listeners, HB 52 will be held. The sponsor is going to continue her work on that. And so with no other business to come before the committee, we will adjourn at 10:30 a.m.